swagger, okay? Regardless of what happens out there, doesn't matter. Keep your swagger.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Podcast. We're your hosts today, TJ and Raj.
Hey there.
So today we got kind of like a pseudo week preview this weekend, or weekend preview, I should say. This weekend is really strange. There's like one Sunday game. There's no Friday, Sunday teams to pick from. So there's going to be a little bit of news that we're talking about. There's going to be a little bit of, you know, cherry picking, right? Like, we're here to exploit the games this weekend, get you guys set up for a win. Or if you're particularly down in your matchup, get you set up for next week. If you're particularly ahead, get you a head start on next week. Start burning your acquisitions now rather than wait till next week. So without further ado, we're Five Hole Fantasy Hockey. You can find us on Twitter at FHF Hockey. You can join the Fantasy Hockey Discord. You can watch us on YouTube for the faces. So let's get into some news and notes from around the league. Alexander Ovechkin is playing tonight. I think, how many goals did he score?
Two goals, two assists, I think.
Two goals, two assists. So Ovi doing Ovi things.
Three power play points.
Mantha taking reps on that top power play unit. I think he got a power play point tonight from said top unit. The Winnipeg game is going on right now. There's a lot actually to talk about from this game. And it's a stretch because I want to get really excited about Mason McTavish scoring a goal. I just don't know how excited I'm allowed to be. Like, he scored a goal, whatever. Mason McTavish was somebody I was super excited about. Maybe like my favorite player. He shouldn't have gone one overall in anybody's entry drafts or anything, but I like that he bangs. He's a goal scorer. I think there's going to be a lot there in the future. One goal in his first game, I'm excited. Okay, I'm not saying, you know, in 12-team redrafts, go out and pick this guy up, but dynasty players, man, like myself, Mason McTavish, we can start getting excited. It looks like, you know, one game in, not to get too ahead of myself, but it looks like he is a mainstay. Anaheim doesn't have too much going on, right?
Anaheim doesn't have a whole lot going on other than they're winning tonight already.
They are beating the Jets. The Jets also have Neil Pionk on their top power play unit, which is bitching. Nikolai Ehlers on the second unit, and a lot more came to light. It's us and Keeping Carlson. Brian reached out to me in DM. He was like, who is this Winnipeg insider guy? Somebody emailed us very randomly about Nikolai Ehlers, saying that he likes being on power play too. So this is a personal choice rather than a coaching choice. So maybe Ehlers stays down there. And part of me thinks that it was Paul Stastny that is emailing me because he wants to create some buzz and keep himself on the top power play unit. Who knows? But whomever Winnipeg insider is, thanks for the email. Ehlers looks like a power play two guy. He was good last year on power play two. Not too worried about it. Anything else that you're kind of thinking about that has happened so far? I mean, Seattle had their first game last night. Did you notice anything in the Seattle game that you were impressed with?
I was very impressed with their offense, to be honest. They scored. I did not expect that. you know, they set themselves up as a defensive team. Solid goaltending, definitely built the team that way. Even some defensive forwards, but they look good. One thing that's been a overall thing I've noticed so far in the first couple of days here is, man, there's a lot of people on the IR and a lot of COVID cases and a lot of there's a lot of people sitting out.
Yeah.
In the top couple of picks, you got Matthews isn't playing, McKinnon's not playing, you know, guys like Gensel, Crosby, Ovechkin was on the fence, and all of a sudden he showed up and just decided to let us know he was back. But yeah, there's a lot of people out. Besser's out. Hopefully that stuff settles down.
Yeah, there was a fair amount of people coming back too. I think Trocheck's back in. Shea Theodore looked ready to go. He was in the game last night. So there's a lot there. Vitek Vanacek got the start tonight. Now, in preseason, Ilya Samsonov was a little hurt, a little beat up. So I don't know if there's a lot to read into. They're not on the first half of back-to-back anything, but Vanacek did get the start against the New York Rangers tonight. I don't know. Are you reading into this one? Do you think there's something behind the scenes with Samsonov? The latest news that I have on Samsonov is some preseason news that he had a lower body injury and was still kind of fighting it. So maybe they're just giving him extra time, or do you think this could wind up being a race to the finish for the starter's net between Samsonov and Vanacek.
Well, Vanacek did show that he was capable last year. I mean, he didn't play the lights out, but he was very good at times. You know, he fell off, obviously, but Samsonov hasn't been too fantastic either. So I think it's going to be a bit of a battle. I don't think there's a definite leader there at all. I mean, I think they want Samsonov to be the guy, but like I said, I mean,
that's the one they protected.
Yeah, Vanacek is kind of proven that he can play, and I mean, what, he's in there with a win, so there you go.
And in Toronto, Jack Campbell got the first game over Mrazek, and they do have a back-to-back set, which has Campbell against Montreal and Mrazek against Ottawa. Now, those are two very different games if you're looking on paper. We don't know what Ottawa is going to be this year. They could be a lot better. They could just be a little bit better, but they're still not the Montreal Canadiens. Like, the Canadiens went to the Stanley Cup final last year. And, you know, whether you think they're a mediocre team or not, they still made it. And Ottawa didn't even make the playoffs. So if I'm going out on a limb here and saying that I think Montreal is a better team and Jack Campbell got the start against the better team in the set of a back-to-back, like, did they put him getting first crack at 1A? What are you reading into that?
Oh, you could read in a lot. I mean, they're playing Ottawa next without their best player. So, like, that is a pretty nice game to have.
Yeah, it's a rough-looking team.
The only thing I could think is that, you know, set Mrazek up for an easy first win. But I don't know. I mean, that's a big game. I mean, there's a lot of eyes on the Montreal game. So, Carolina to Toronto, that's a whole different vibe. You go from being basically nobody down in the south to, you know, the goaltender of the center of the hockey universe. So maybe that plays into it. They didn't want to throw him right into the media fire and have him have to play on that first night. I mean, if I'm trying to be nice, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, that's the nice way to spin it. So we're recording this Wednesday for Thursday. Thursday is going to be a heavy, heavy, heavy matchup. 10 games, something like that. Like, there's quite a few. But the plan for tonight's episode is we want to go through this weekend. Friday and Sunday are your off nights. And there's no team that plays on those nights. So what are we doing? Are we, like, kind of cherry picking Friday, cherry picking Sunday? Sunday's only got one game, so there's only so much we can cherry pick. What are you thinking?
I was looking for teams, players that had two games. Because there's quite a few. Five teams have two games over the weekend. So I started with those teams. And then from there, there wasn't a ton to choose from, but I did also take a look at how you can maybe set yourself up for next week. Because there's a couple of great schedules next week to look at.
Vegas, pretty sweet three off nights next week, but no Monday game. So you can always, like, cheat your way in there. Boston has the same type of schedule. I like San Jose's, like, they got four games. Nashville as well. A couple of good teams to cherry pick from. But if we're talking about this week, the teams that we're looking at for what this weekend is, I mean, Dallas and Ottawa, they play that Sunday game, which is probably the best there. Who do you got? Let's kick it off.
One guy I really think I might even take a swing at is Jake. Joel Eriksson,
yeah.
I mean, he's a center, 45% owned. He plays Friday, Saturday. Minnesota, obviously, they play Anaheim and L.A., so two pretty fun games to be in. You know, Anaheim is Anaheim, and L.A. is L.A., so they're both kind of shit teams, really. and he's centering Kaprizov and Zuccarello for line one and power play one, at least on paper at this point. But that's a pretty solid bet. You know, that's some good minutes from, you know, top line, top power play. I like him a lot.
Yeah, Joel Eriksson, I think he contributes some hits too. And you can look at Greenway, who should be inside the top six somewhere. But I think they're going to be working their lines out of the blender a little bit. You know, Joel Eriksson, probably your number one center. That's a mainstay. And if I'm looking at their lines, Kevin Fiala on the third line, are you worried at all about Kevin Fiala?
He was there at times last year, too. I don't know. He just kind of seems to float his way around the team. And I've never wanted to be high on Fiala. There's been times where you can't deny the heaters he goes on. But, yeah, that's one of the reasons I've never been overly excited about Fiala, because that does happen sometimes. He'll go down to the third line, very volatile player, it seems like.
On an interesting note, a separate note, Flyers claimed Zach McEwen. What do you think he means to us? What are we getting from you guys?
My favorite player, basically. Love the guy. I really like his play. He's a big dude. I posted a picture of on Twitter of me with Demko and McEwen in the studio one night, and I look like a friggin' midget. So he's a big dude. He's a super hard worker. He's tough as shit. I mean, he's the guy who kind of manhandled Cassian. I know Cassian knocked his head out on the ice, but when you watch that, like, McEwen was throwing around Cassian like pretty handily. So he's that kind of guy, but he's also skilled. He's a center, usually fantastic fourth line center.
Yeah, I think that's what we're gonna get.
Yeah, not a goon. Like he can fight with the best of them in the league at this point, but he can play as well. You guys are getting a really, really good fourth line center.
There's plenty to pick from here in Minnesota to snap us back to Minnesota. I think anybody above 50% is Dumba, Spurgeon, Fiala, and Kaprizov. So really, you can take your pick. Like Zuccarello's out there. He kind of had a really hot, I mean, I don't even know if I want to call it second half last year. It was just a weird year for Zuc. Like he was really good last year. Goligoski, always good for peripherals. Greenway, a little bit of extra hits on top of what you would get from Joel Eriksson-Ek. Outside of that, I mean, there's not a ton to choose from. Like I like Marcus Foligno. He's kind of a plug if you're in a super deep league and you're looking for bangs in an off shot at a point. But what does look really cool is we got a back-to-back here. Minnesota is going to see those two teams that you're talking about in Anaheim and LA. Kaapo Kähkönen, what are you thinking? You know, depending on which matchup he gets, do you like Kähkönen's chances against these two California teams?
Yeah, I don't think it matters which game he get. Like, I mean, I think LA is a little better than Anaheim, but I think Minnesota's better than both of them. So I think Kähkönen could be a good pickup. There's been some weird things again going on, like Pittsburgh manhandling Tampa without Crosby, Getzel, or Malkin.
The like, shell of Pittsburgh, right? Yeah.
Against a fully staffed Tampa Bay team and just like beat the shit out of them. So not sure how I feel about analytics right now based on the first night. But no, I think Minnesota should handle both of those teams, so I'd feel real comfy picking up Kähkönen.
Yeah, the early season is the worst time for should. Like, you know, Tampa should have beaten Pittsburgh, and it just didn't happen that way, and things aren't going the right way. Now I'm with you, man. I think Minnesota's a good place to look. I like your next pick here, Josh Norris, somebody I was talking about in our week preview. I think I like what Josh Norris brings to the table. He's under 50% owned. He's got that Saturday-Sunday that you're talking about. Tell me about him. What do you like about him?
I've liked him since he got into the league. He's 49%, another center. They got Toronto and Dallas. I think Toronto's going to be without Matthews, which, you know, you're stuck with Tavares, which isn't great. But Toronto-Ottawa's turned into a little bit of a rivalry again. Yeah, I love Norris. And it seems like all their good young players, like they have that one line of young guys, they're all pretty rugged too. Like they all pick up some hits. And
that whole line is a just go check. It's just go check season again. It's Drake Batherson at 56% owned in Yahoo and Stutz at 58. So just go check, because I love what Batherson brings. Like he is one of my guys and he bangs. He's good for goals. The shots, you know, they're hopefully on their way, but line one, power play one for all three of these guys. I'm in. I'm there. Artem Zub. Zub, if you could talk about like a real deep banger, Zub's the guy. I like Zub, but that's for our very deep leagues. I like Zub.
He had a couple of games last year. He had a couple of games where he was throwing himself around a little bit.
Yeah, not so bad. Jesse Puljujärvi with a goal tonight on that overloaded top line with McDavid and Draisaitl, which puts Hyman on line two with Yamamoto and RNH. Pooji, he's the guy. Like he, you know, Hyman's the one that got bumped down. I don't know what their power play units looked like as of yet, because we're recording this and I'm not watching. I think by tomorrow I'll have a good idea. Actually, you know what? You talk about your next streamer and I'll look it up.
Pooji was another one that you threw out as a streamer earlier in the week. And yeah, we've had a really, really good luck on our streamers so far. We'll just keep that percentage going all season. Another team you can look at for streamers over the weekend, Chicago. another decent schedule. They got the Friday, Saturday, Jersey, which, you know, not the hottest team. And Pittsburgh, who I just can't see them being as good as they were in that first game without all their stars. I mean, I guess Gensel should be back. Crosby's skating again, so he's going to come back. But a couple of guys on Chicago you can look at. Doc.
I like Shujar Kyra. Shujar Kyra, man. You know I was going to talk about him.
Yeah, if you're definitely going to get you some peripherals. Doc's at 35% owned, so you can pick him up. I mean, their top six is looking pretty good, and with Toews coming back, Doc kind of doesn't have much to go other than 3C, right? So,
yeah, for now. I mean, the Tyler Johnson experiment, while he is probably the one of the more on paper lucrative streamers that you can have through these first couple weeks, like fast forward 4 months down the season, I got Toews, I got Doc as our top six centers. I don't know if I see Tyler Johnson as line one. Maybe the chemistry is really good. Maybe they figure it out. So fine. Again, if we're talking on paper and things that should happen early in the season, Tyler Johnson shouldn't be here, but he is. So, at 29%, man, you can't go wrong there, right?
He's got the deployment. They definitely don't seem to want to rush Doc into that spot for whatever reason. Johnson's fine. Like, he's a decent player. Yeah, but it's just that deployment. I mean, your top line, top power play with Kane and DeBrincat, you're going to get some points.
Toews looks good on that power play, too. And then there's trusty old Bang Daddy Murph. Good for blocks, good for hits. You know, 12% owned if you're in need of some periphery on the weekend.
I mean, he'll bring it in.
He'll do it. He will do it for you. He's got New Jersey and Pittsburgh this weekend, Friday, Saturday. So get yourself some bangs. And Shujar Kyra, I mean, 1% owned. He will hit players. But I don't even know if he made the lineup, to be honest with you. I just wanted to say his name.
Yeah, I like him. I like him. I hope he does well. I hope he does well down there. I really like him.
I have high hopes for Brandon Hagel this year. Like, he was good. I think he is good. I think he'll find himself a home. So that's just a weird prediction for the rest of the year. I do want to keep tabs on Brandon Hagel and see what happens with him. All right, so we're looking at Dallas next because they do have this Sunday game. All right, and I know you picked Ryan Suter. My pick at the early part of the week was Denis Gurianov, and I don't know what to do anymore because they've switched up their lines yet again, and it looks like Ben, Sagan, and Radulov are back, but I think Radulov is like sick or something. So who knows if that's going to stick together. I would like to see Gurianov slip up if Radulov isn't available, but that remains to be seen. They are leaning towards this Ben Sagan-Radulov. So we'll see what happens there. But tell me about Suter.
33%. They play Boston. They play Ottawa. It's just about as boring and safe of a pick as you can make. I mean, you know what you're going to get from Suter. He's going to probably get you a couple of hits, a couple of blocks. Good chance at an assist. Probably play about 45 minutes. Better team. It's probably a lateral move from Minnesota, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he fits in there. I would take a swing at him if you need a D. And again, just having that Sunday game.
There's S.L. Lindell, too.
Yep.
S. Lindell, always good for a couple shots, couple hits, couple blocks. Denis Gurianov, you know, off chance at some points. Man, I want to see Yanni Hakanpaa get in. I love his bangs. But I think Oleksiak is going to be my new banger this year. I think there's going to be a ton of bangs in Seattle. Oleksiak and Larson as a pairing, they're the bang bros.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, you got Zuccarello here too. So going back to what we were saying about Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, you know, big line. Feels weird to find him relevant at this point in his career, but he is. 17% right wing, probably going to be shuffling. You say that on most lines for the first week or so here, but he's fine. He ended up really strong last year.
All right, that's about it. I mean, it's kind of a shit weekend. Like, looking ahead till next week, we got a lot of Friday, Sunday guys worth talking about. But next week, teams with maybe the best schedule, Vegas. I really like Vegas. I want to talk about Chandler Stephenson and Nolan Patrick, of all people. Mm-hmm. Nolan Patrick getting some power play time and looking like, you know, a man on a mission. And that just reminded me. I wanted to say the same thing about Jared McCann and Jonas Donskoy. they were impressive. Jared McCann especially, man, he was trying to shoulder that whole team. He was moving out there. He was zipping. Really looked like he wanted to win that game. So I have high hopes for Jared McCann. Just going to put that on record. But we're talking about Vegas right here. And Nolan Patrick, I want to get your opinion on Nolan Patrick. Like, is he... They don't really have the center depth, right? Like, they have William Karlsson, but he's part of the misfit line. And then they got Chandler Stephenson, which, you know, is a good fit, but it's not an entirely huge bar to jump. You know what I mean? Like, it's not set that high. Nolan Patrick could wind up the 1C here. It's not impossible.
Very possible, I'd say. Like, Stevenson's kind of been there somewhat by default. Like,
he's fast. That's what they like about him.
There's definitely no amazing centers in Vegas. So if Patrick can be what you guys wanted him to be, basically.
He didn't want to do it for us.
If you can wiggle your way into the top six at all, like, you're surrounded by great forwards. So I think, yeah, obviously Carlson's kind of cemented his spot in there, but I think he could. If you went on a heater, he could see himself taking over number 1C, or I guess it's number 1C, just taking over Chandler Stephenson's spot.
Bit of a hot take at this point, but, you know, again.
It's possible.
It's not impossible. The chances are low, but they're not zero. So next week, again, you know, San Jose is a team to look out for. I don't know if I'm streaming anybody from San Jose, just based on the lack of pedigree. Like, there's not a ton of optimism there, but anybody under 40%, Timo Meier, 32%. Timo Meier is a streamer at this point. I might take a chance on somebody like Timo Meier. Logan Couture, 27%. Mario Ferraro at 6. Kevin LeBanc at 3. There's room. I see these numbers going up, but not by much.
Yeah, there's options there. I mean, that's another team where you could... No one's picking up those players. So if you need somebody, San Jose is a team to look at. You know, somebody I had as a setup for next week, I mean, it's Grizzlick. He's under 50%. If you do need a D, Boston's got 3 off nights next week against Philly, Buffalo, and San Jose. So Philly should be a lot better than last year, but then Buffalo and San Jose. So that's not only off nights. Those are a couple of gimmies. So Grizzlick, or if you can find anybody else available in Boston, it's worth looking forward to.
What about your favorite guy, Derek Forbort?
Oh, I didn't want anybody to know. I just noticed you have him against me right now. Jerk.
That was very much by design.
But no, that's another one. I mean, was he probably under 10%, I would assume?
2%.
Yeah, and he's hits and blocks.
That's what he does. Man, that's all I got. It feels like a really short episode, but that's what our weekend previews are going to be. They're not going to be intensely long or anything. It's just getting you through the weekend. If you guys got any questions, hit us up in the Discord. You can always hit us up on Twitter at FHF Hockey. You can chirp the close to 1,000 other people. I think we're going to break 1,000 in the next couple weeks, 1,000 members in the Discord. So that's very exciting. If you want to get in there and be 1,000, we'd be pretty honored to have you. And there's always people around, you know, floating their advice and giving their takes. So good resource to have.
With some of the people from overseas, it's literally people in Discord talking hockey 24/7.
Yeah. It's awesome, though. You know, really proud of the community. Great community. So get in there, hang out, talk some hockey, show us your dog, show us your breakfast. We don't care. There's literally a channel for everything. So anyway, that's curtains.
Curtains.
Right?
Yeah.
Easy one. All right, we will catch you for the week preview. That's going to be coming out for you on Sunday. We want to get you ready for those next day ads and things like that. So keep an eye out for another episode Sunday. Take care. Love you.